I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. You can find the show at Championship Pod on Twitter. I'm Lewis Shackshaft, and I'm here with Jake Jackman, who's going to talk me through his big wins and surprises from the Championship's most recent games.
Yeah, it was a good round of games, as they always are at this point. I think the biggest surprise for me has got to be Millwall going away and beating Nottingham Forest 3-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that would probably be one that you'd wanted to talk about as well, especially as it was 3-0 at half-time. It was quite a convincing first half showing from Millwall. I thought that, especially in the first half, that they wanted it to be quite an open game, you know, chances at both ends, especially in the first sort of 10, 15 minutes. And it felt like that they didn't mind going toe-to-toe with Nottingham Forest and fancied themselves. And it turns out that they were right to do so. I think in the second half, Nottingham Forest had a lot of chances, a lot of possession, but they weren't really creating any clear-cut opportunities and managed to see it through quite well. And it was quite a big one for Millwall. As they're pushing on for that playoff position, they've had a few draws, a few losses recently, dropped points at home where you would have fancied them, and to go away and beat one of the top six like they did in such convincing fashion is only going to be positive for them. So that was slightly surprising, but I thought that if you've been watching Millwall since Gary Rowett has come in, they're capable of this, and they were just sort of waiting for that one game where it all clicked together, and I think that came on Friday night, and I think that they're definitely a team that's suited to playing away from home, so which is unlike Millwall teams of the past, but I think that was best shown on Friday. Another one that I guess was a little bit of a surprise is QPR going away to Preston. QPR we rated very highly on this podcast at the start of the season. We clipped them as maybe having the talent to go in and compete for the playoffs, so scoring a lot of goals. It was always entertaining to watch them. Then it just sort of didn't go for them, and they got to that point where their season was middling out and there wasn't much to play for. And now they've won three out of their last six, haven't lost in six now, and they're 6 points off the playoffs. And, you know, you'd think with 9 games to go, that's probably a little bit too much. But with the form that teams above them are showing, I mean, Preston currently in sixth have lost four of their last five, including that game to QPR. So you'd think that maybe it's not beyond the realms of possibility that they can go on and maybe push up the table, and think the likes of Derby and Swansea will be thinking the same. But yeah, I thought the QPR were really good. They're just such a good team to watch when it all clicks, as they and Bright Samuel being the two that are obviously most fun to watch with the dribbling ability they both have, as they getting a goal and assist, and Bright Samuel getting two assists at the weekend. So another good performance from them. It's quite a sound defensive one from QPR as well. They didn't concede too many shots. And to go away and win at Preston, who are normally so good at home, it's a huge result at this point of the season. I think it's probably even more damaging for Preston, with Cardiff and Millwall getting those wins. It's a little bit of a worry, their form. Yeah, they were the two big ones for me. I'm sure you'll probably want to touch on a few nearer the bottom of the table.
Yeah, I have got a few more. I think the ones you've picked out, though, probably the biggest surprise was Millwall's 3-0 win at Forest. Didn't see that coming. But what that's done is bring all the teams in the top of the table. It's made the gap even shorter, like you've said, between, you know, 13th and 6th, and, you know, the playoff fight continues, which is always good. But yeah, touching on a few other games, I think that, you know, Middlesbrough's 1-0 win away at Charlton, we said when we talked about this last week, or the week before, that, you know, these type of games are 6-pointers now, and, you know, that's put Charlton, I believe, in the relegation zone for the first time this season, on 39 points in 22nd position, and it keeps Middlesbrough 2 points above. And I didn't expect, if I'm honest, for Middlesbrough to keep a clean sheet in that game. And, you know, there's no denying that they could have gone there and won, but to keep a clean sheet, they'll be pleased with that. And, you know, I know Middlesbrough are still looking over the shoulders, like I keep saying, but that's a huge win for them. The other one down there as well is, even though Stoke seem to be doing fantastically well at the minute, and they are climbing the table now in 17th, beating Hull 5-1, which was one of the games of the weekend, they're still only 3 points off the relegation zone as well. It just, like the top, the bottom seems to be chopping and changing also. So that was a huge win for them. A couple more, obviously Brentford thrash Sheffield Wednesday 5-0. We know that Brentford are capable of turning it on every now and again, and with Wednesday being on the slump that they're on, only winning two games in the league since the turn of the year, then that was maybe no surprise that Brentford won. But even 5-0 is a huge win for, you know, any team in this division. And same goes, you know, for Derby. I really didn't expect Derby to win 3-0 against Blackburn. That was a huge win for them. In fact, you know, many people before the game I saw was tipping Blackburn to probably nick that one, and that would have put them in sixth position at the time. But obviously with that loss, that keeps Derby in playoff contention as well, just above QPR, who you mentioned, Jake. They're a point above them, sat in 12th on 51 points, but that's only 5-point gap now to six in, you know, Preston occupy that spot like we've mentioned. So some real, real big key moments, I think, from these weekend games that has really made the table turn on its head in parts, like we said, the playoff and the relegation fight. So yes, definitely some big wins and surprises. But yeah, do you want to talk me through your players of the week?
Yeah, I think it's quite easy to pick a few from this weekend. Matt Smith has got to be the pick of the bunch, obviously getting three goals in the first half to take that game away from Nottingham Forest. To get a hat-trick against anyone in the Championship is a good achievement, but do it against a team in the top six shows his qualities in this Millwall's attacking lineup. He was so dominant in the air that I got in front of me. He won 14 aerial duels during the game, so that just shows the qualities he brings. Just so good in the air, and he was an absolute handful to deal with throughout the night for Forest. So yeah, it's a big performance for him. We could obviously talk about Eze every week in this section. He was quality again, goal and assist, as I spoke about before. I thought Louis Sibley had a good game for Derby. He obviously got into a bit of a set two with in the week in the Manchester United game. He was showing his fiery character. Then yesterday he got his big goal, which was a great strike for an 18-year-old, and Derby have got a lot of good young players coming through now. They obviously did very well in various youth competitions this season, and now they're all getting a chance in the first team, and Knight, Bird and Sibley all look good, but Sibley was the one yesterday that stood out. Obviously his goal was a great strike. If you haven't seen it, you should go and seek that one out. And yeah, I think I'll probably go slightly odd for the next couple before I let you pick out your best performance. I thought if you go down to the Swansea game, Swansea West Brom, I thought that all of the back four for Swansea were excellent. I thought Roden and Cabango were very good at centre back. I thought Carl Norton had a very good game. Limited West Brom to just one shot on target, which is just a great achievement. And it was just a show of what a good sort of team unit Swansea are at the back. Something they maybe don't get as much credit for. But it was, again, just an issue. The big issue for them has got to be not being able to win games. They've just drawn too many, and that's seen them sort of fall down to 11th position. But it was a good performance for them, and to take a point against West Brom was huge. I thought their defenders were excellent. Had a few games recently where they've conceded a few. Conceded two against Blackburn last week. Conceded four against Hull in what was that crazy 4-4 draw that evened it Friday evening a few weeks back. But no, it's a good defensive performance from them. Hopefully they'll be able to build on it.
Yeah, you've obviously picked a few players out there. I'm glad that you've picked out Swansea's defence as well, because on my list I've got players who scored all the goals on the assists. So obviously Matt Smith, Eze are on my list. I'm going to pick out a couple of Stoke players. I think Sam Clucas and Nick Powell both managed to get braces in that 5-1 win against Hull. But not only in this game, I think that they've been quite influential since Michael O'Neill's come in. And we know that Clucas and Powell are both very, very good at this level. And they, you know, like I've said already, that they've managed to score two goals apiece at the weekend, and they were, you know, their performance was fantastic. So I wanted to mention both of those, grabbing those goals there. A couple more players, De Silva for Brentford had a fantastic game in that 5-0 win against Sheffield Wednesday. But another player as well getting an assist, Benrahma. We keep saying how good of a player he is in the Championship and one of the best. And he proved that again on Saturday. And then Derby's win. I can't not mention Chris Martin. He's very inconsistent with the goals, but sometimes, yes, he can switch it on. I know he got a hat-trick of assists against Sheffield Wednesday previously in the month. Now he's managed to score two goals in the 3-0 win against Blackburn. I know one was a penalty, but he's having a great couple of weeks, so I thought I'd mention him also. But ultimately, for me, I think if you had to pick one player, it was the player you mentioned first, Jake, would be Matt Smith with his hat-trick inside the 36 minutes there at Nottingham Forest. But that takes us into the topics. So I'm just going to ask you, Jake, a simple question, really. Do you fear that everything that's going on with the coronavirus as such, that many EFL games may have to be played behind closed doors? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a bit of a worry, really. We're seeing what's going on in Italy and Serie A. They've got games being played behind closed doors. I think there's some sort of pressure to cancel all sport up until April. Might include Serie A, so it might be the league gets suspended. They're obviously a lot more advanced in the coronavirus than the UK at the moment, but it is a building problem. And politicians are going to have to take action at some point if it does continue to grow. It seems listening to government officials, or you listen to Boris Johnson, or you listen to the culture secretary, they seem to be quite against closing off sporting events, seeming that if fans aren't in the ground, they're going to go to the pub, and is that a worse environment to spread disease? Probably. So it'd be interesting to see I think it's something that might happen eventually. I don't think it's imminent in the next couple of weeks, but I think it's probably going to happen at some point. It's quite an easy thing for the government to do, to sort of ease, to look good to see that, like, they're doing something to do that. But it'd be interesting if they do, and how it will affect things, and who will cover the finances. If they, will the leagues start broadcasting more games online? Sky gonna make more games available?
That's a good point.
The 3 o'clock kickoffs, will they now be shown? Say if a Wigan fan has got a season ticket and he's got every right to watch the games, even if it can't be in the stadium. There's got to be some sort of provision made available for them to watch it. But yeah, things are big in sport sometimes, and if that's what they think, that's what the experts think will help stop this and sort of limit the impact, then something that might happen. But I don't think it's imminent at this point. And yeah, it's only going to cause bigger issues, such as people going to the pub to watch football, which is probably what people would do.
Yeah, I agree with what you've said there. I think it's a case that, first and foremost, health and safety of people is, at the front of people's minds, and, sport always comes second, particularly football, when it comes to things like this. And I don't think we're at the stage yet where we will be playing behind closed doors, but, give it another month, let's say, that could happen. We're probably lucky that it is getting to the end or towards the end of the season, really. There's only about eight weeks left to play as such. I know there's still cup competitions and European competitions to be played, and there's also the Euros in the summer, which is another topic that God knows what will happen with that. But it was just interesting that I was listening to Sky Sports earlier, actually, and Kieran Maguire, who has the Price of Football podcast, and I found it interesting that he was basically saying if games were played behind closed doors, it would be the teams in the EFL that suffered, because obviously of TV rights, the Premier League teams and the worldwide coverage. Even if that was played behind closed doors, it'd potentially still be on TV, and there's a lot of money involved there, and it'd be the lower teams that suffer, essentially, and that's always been the case in any scenario, not just as this, but that the lower teams or the lower league teams are the ones that are always punished. So it could be a case that, it doesn't bode well for the future. But at this stage, I think it's, like you say, it's very much a waiting game. All we can do is make you know, wait for the government to make decisions and see what happens from there. But I think it's not panic mode as yet, but it's obviously walking into the unknown as such to see what happens in this next 2, 3, 4 weeks. And obviously as we continue to record, there might be an update on each week and each occasion, and like you said, it's happened in Italy already where they're playing behind closed doors. So if it comes to that, then so be it. But for the time being, we continue as normal and keep appearing at football matches and supporting our clubs. So hopefully things improve sooner rather than later, and we can move on from this topic. But moving on to the next topic, Jake. We've talked already about all the big wins and surprises from the weekend games and how the table's flipped on its head again and you know, many teams moving positions, whether that's up or down. Do you think that this season, either the automatic promotion fight or the playoffs or the relegation fight, will go down to the last day? How do you feel about that?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I don't think the automatics will. I think that Leeds and West Brom are going to take those two spots, and we'll probably do it with some games to spare. If there was a team that was emerging, winning games and putting pressure on and closing the gap, then maybe I'd question that, but there isn't really. Even Fulham, who are behind, have got 2 wins out of 6. It's not like they're tearing down the door. Brentford were the team that I thought might do it, but they've only won 1 in their last 6. That coming at the weekend, a good victory, but 10 points now between them and West Brom. It's a lot to make up in 9 games. So, yeah, I think those two are going to go for it. I think the playoffs are where it could get interesting. I think for me, I only see Fulham and Brentford being secure in those spots. Even though Brentford have only got a 5-point lead, I think that they've got the quality to see it through. So I wouldn't be too worried about them. Forest and Preston, I'm not too sad about them keeping the spots. But again, there's not a team really emerging with that form to make me think that they could be the ones to take it. But so, yeah, I think that there's going to be a lot of losing. There's going to be a lot of teams going into those 5th and 6th spots. And there'll be a lot of change before the end of the season. So that one, I think, will go to the final day. And I think the relegation battle might... I think we might touching it a little bit later, but this weekend Hull and Charlton are playing against each other. That's going to be huge. You know, Hull need to win that game really, and so did Charlton. It's a huge one for what's going on at the bottom. If Charlton win it, I think that maybe it might go to the last day, the relegation battle, but I think that Luton and Barnsley are gone, and I think Charlton could quickly join them, making the 3 promoted teams going straight back down. So I think this weekend's a big one for me in that respect. Luton as well, at home against Preston, and Barnsley away to QPR, so be interested to see how it goes. I think Luton and Barnsley need to start winning games against like now. They don't have much time, but yeah, and if Charlton win at the weekend, I think it might go to the wire. But if Hull get a win, I think we might see some distance get put between the rest of the clubs and those bottom three.
Yeah, I'm tending to agree with you there. I think that the top two will go up, Leeds and West Brom for me. I think they've done enough now. There's that 6-point gap from Fulham. And when you're on form like both teams are, I know West Brom lost quite recently, and then they drew obviously with Swansea, but I still think they've got the quality, and other than that one big dip that Leeds United and West Brom had about 3-4 weeks ago, they've been pretty consistent since then. And you've only got to look at Leeds United now, won 5 out of 5. I think this time round or this season round, we can say that Leeds are going to do it and West Brom should do it. I think, yeah, there's too big a gap between, you know, that those teams and Fulham and Brentford. And I think Fulham and Brentford, again, will be two teams in the playoffs. I think they should secure it. Again, there's just that inconsistency with Forest, Preston, the Bristol City. Millwall are doing really well at the minute and, you know, they could potentially catch them, as could Cardiff. And like we said, there's still Blackburn, Swansea, Derby, QPR still in it in many ways. So, yes, that could go down to the wire in terms of the playoff, like you mentioned. And then at the bottom, again, it's a case of that. Yeah, I think that the, you know, I'm not saying all three teams will go down to the last day. I really do think now it's got to the stage where you've got to consider Barnsley and Luton are probably going to go down, like you've just mentioned. They've given it a really good fight. You know, Barnsley have won three of the last five, but then, you know, just lost two on the bounce. So that's kept them at the bottom of the table on 34 points. But, you know, other teams around there, you know, Wigan have done really, really well of late. Won three out of the last four, drawing the other one. Middlesbrough managed to get that huge win against Charlton, which is, like I touched on, put Charlton in 22nd. I still got this feeling that the inconsistency of Hull, you know, Middlesbrough, Charlton, that really could go down to the last day. I mean, Hull are basically in free fall. They've got the worst form in the league. We talked about what a difference Bowen and Grzycki make about a month ago when they left. And yeah, they've lost five games out of the last six. So they've suddenly come into the mix, haven't they, this last 4 weeks, where it could be Hull City that go down come the end of the season. So they really need to pull the finger out, but at the same time, I feel a bit sorry for them with the players that they did lose in January. But yeah, I'm going to stick that Leeds United and West Brom do go up and could do it with games to spare. The playoff chase, again, that's anybody's, could go down to the last day, and I think that the relegation fight will do as well. But that takes us into thoughts and feelings, Jake, if you want to just pick a club of your choice and discuss away.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go for Preston for this one. Obviously, you mentioned them a little bit earlier, and four losses out of five now, and it's starting to look a bit worrying for them. I think last year at this time, I was quite fancying Preston for the playoffs from a lot lower down. This year, they're currently occupying that sixth playoff spot, but it's difficult to get behind them after what has been. It has been a difficult run for them, to be fair. In the last five, they've had Millwall, West Brom, Fulham and QPR with a win against Hull, but then everybody's sort of beating Hull at the moment. So I'm not sure you can read too much into that. And it's just the goals they're conceding. They conceded two against West Brom, two against Fulham, three against QPR. A Preston team that has been pretty solid for most of the season is starting to now ship goals with quite some regularity, and the big disappointment at the weekend was that QPR went down to 10 men shortly after they equalised, and even with 10 men, they managed to go and score another two goals at Deepdale against Preston, a team in sixth, which is just quite remarkable. Obviously, I think QPR have got some players that maybe suit playing on the break, and maybe they, Preston pushed on a little bit too much and left the gaps for Bright Samuel and Eze to exploit. But even so, you'd think that Preston should be doing better. And it's getting a little bit confusing with the team selection. He seems to give Stockley a go for sustained periods. They brought in Scott Sinclair, who'd probably say is one of the most talented players in the division on his day. And he was only given a 10 minutes at the weekend, which is quite remarkable when you think they went down to 10 men. 67 minutes and they went till the 81st to bring on Scott Sinclair. I think he's the type of player to make an impact, and they chose not to bring him on. It's difficult really to see them hanging on to this playoff spot, as sad as that will be for James. It's looking just loss after loss at the moment, and that one against QPR was especially damaging. And you look at what they've got coming up, you'd think that this weekend, the away game against Luton looks like a must win, but then Luton have shown that they can win games now, especially at home. I think they're quite a dangerous team. Then they've got home games against Cardiff and Derby, two teams that are vying for a playoff spot that got wins at the weekend. Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday away. Localish games that there might be a little bit more heat to. Nottingham Forest at home, Brentford away, Birmingham home, Bristol City away. Have got a tough run in. There's not many games there I fancy them to win. I think they're going to start to drop out the playoff race. I'm struggling to see it from them. They're not getting shots in. Only managed 10 at the weekend. When you think they played, a quarter of the game against 10 men, it's not good enough at home. I'm just think that maybe they've found their limit this season, and it's going to go down from here. But it's just to get your thoughts on that as well, Louis, because
I think what you've said, based on Preston's form, they've got one of the worst form in the league, haven't they? And I'm surprised that even at this stage they've been in that sixth spot for about 2-3 weeks now, and I don't know how they've not been overtook yet. I know they've got a better goal difference than Bristol City, but I think it's difficult to say that they are going to finish in the playoffs just simply based on how how this past 4 weeks has gone for them. And, you've just mentioned Preston reaching their limit. Is this their limit now? Every season, that they've reached this point where they've been 6th, 7th, 8th, been in with a shout, and then they've always just drifted away at the last minute. And I'm with you. I think they're going to do it again, unfortunately. I think just simply because there's too many teams on their tail at the moment. They've got a tough month ahead of them. And with the likes of Millwall, Cardiff, Blackburn, teams like that, even Derby to an extent now, all on their tail and chasing. It's difficult to say that Preston are going to finish sixth. And then they're looking over the shoulder than they are looking up. There's a 4-point gap between them and Nottingham Forest. And even though Forest have been inconsistent for me this season, they've still managed to manage 16 wins. I think it's just a case Preston have... they're conceding too many goals at the present. Got a +5 goal difference. They've conceded 45 goals, which is about the second worst in the top half. So they've done well to be sixth. But again, you worded it well, saying that they've potentially reached their limit. So yeah, that's my thoughts on it, that unfortunately they probably will finish more like 8th or 9th for me this season. But my thoughts and feelings would be this week on Sheffield Wednesday. I don't think I've chosen them before my own club to discuss, but I just think it's the right time to say that obviously Sheffield Wednesday have been absolutely abysmal since the turn of the year. We've had one good win, which was a 2-0 victory at Leeds United. We managed to claw a win past Charlton Athletic in the 95th minute only a couple of weeks ago, but every other game we've just been so inconsistent and poor with it. There's not been any great performance other than those wins that I've mentioned. Terrible run of form at the minute. If I'm really honest, I think I can't wait for the season to end, but with that is whether we actually stay in this division, because even though we're on a slump at the moment and we find ourselves in our lowest league possession of the season in 15th, there's a 9-point gap between us and Charlton, who are in 22nd. Now, I don't think the points, that the teams below us in the relegation zone will overtake, such as Sheffield Wednesday, and we would be relegated in that format. But we've still got to consider, obviously, the points deduction. And at the minute, the update is that it's still pending. It can still happen this season. It's most likely a 9 or 12-point deduction. And I'm really, really, and I think most Wednesdayites now are really fearing the worst, that this season we would be lucky to just stay in this division. And, with or without a point deduction at the moment, it's getting to that point where we are literally playing that badly. And I think Gary Monk said it at the weekend, there's issues within the club that are rotten. I don't think Gary Monk's all to blame. Some people are calling for his head already. For me, it's not got to that stage. I think you should only give a manager time. You've got to remember he's only been here for about 5 months in total now. And yes, I agree that he's not helping himself with all the chopping and changing that he's doing, different formations week in, week out. I'm a firm believer in consistency. Even when you lose, sometimes it's good to keep the same team. You know, you win together, lose together. Gary Monk doesn't seem to do that. You know, a player has a bad game, he takes him straight out. I don't really know what that's doing for players' confidence. But for me, yeah, like I say, season can't. The end can't come quick enough for me. And when the end does come, we've got about 11, 12 players out of contract. And for me, they all need to go. We need to start fresh, get new players in by exploring the loan markets again, free transfers. Obviously, we can afford to pay some players decent wages. But with the restrictions that we've got at the minute, with, like say, potential points deductions, it's a case of just getting this season out of the way. And if someone said to me now, you know, you'll finish this season with or without a points deduction, but you will be in the Championship next season, I'd snap their hand off, even if that meant finishing 21st this season. So yeah, it's got to that point of, you know, Sheffield Wednesday fan, that the new decade and 2020 has just been atrocious so far. So it can't get much worse other than the point deduction. So I'm hoping things do pick up, but we've got a real tough games coming up, starting with Nottingham Forest on Saturday. So let's see what happens from there. It's very much a waiting game, just being a Sheffield Wednesday fan at the moment. And, you know, it's a bit fearful as well. So, like I say, let's just see what happens. But that takes us into previews and predictions, Jake. First game, key fixture, would be Friday at 7:45 kickoff. Fulham versus Brentford, big game. What's your thoughts on this?
Yes, it's a big game. I think if either one of them are going to push on for that top two, Fulham more likely at the moment. They've got to win this game. You always think Fulham at Craven Cottage, you've got to get behind them. They've got the best home record in the league now. 12 wins, 2 draws, 5 losses. Which, yeah, it's just slightly better than Derby and Leeds, albeit Leeds played one fewer match at home. They've got the best home record. Brentford, okay, away from home, got 7 wins from 19 games, which gives them a top 6 position away from home. But yeah, I think I think Fulham are going to see this as an opportunity to win. I still prefer Brentford as a team, but yeah, I think I'm going to sit on the fence here. I think I'm going to go 2-2 draw, but I think it's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, it should be a good game, this one. You know that I'm an admirer of Brentford as well. Love their forward line and the players. And I think that we said earlier they can switch it on. But I don't know why. I just think Fulham at home, Friday night, you touched on it already. Best home form in the league, capable of beating anybody. I'm going to predict a 2-1 to Fulham in this one. But yeah, I think there'll be goals as well, like you. It really could go either way. But if I were having a bet, like I say, 2-1 to Fulham for me. In this one, that takes us into Saturday. Another key fixture, 3:00, Blackburn versus Bristol City. What's your prediction for this?
Yeah, I've not really been big on Bristol City recently. I think that they're falling away, similar to Preston, although they've managed to buck that trend with a couple of good draws against Millwall. We obviously saw what they did to Nottingham Forest, going away to the Den and getting a 1-1 draw. That was obviously a good result, and then drawing at home to Fulham, another good result, although they didn't take any points, didn't get any wins, so, you know, 2 points from 2 games. They've been better off winning one and losing one, as we often say, but they've bucked that trend. Blackburn have been on these runs of really good form, obviously had quite a heavy defeat at the weekend, which is, it's a little bit out of character. Didn't really see that one coming for them. I've actually, similar to last season, I've actually got a little bit of money on Blackburn getting into the playoffs. So the fact that since I've done that, they've not picked up any points that they had prior. But there's still only 3 points off it. And you think at home that they should have enough to beat Bristol City. Blackburn won 8 games at home, which gives them the 7th best home record, and Bristol City have actually got the 4th best away record, but lost 2 of their last 3 away from home. They don't score many either, but they're normally quite solid. I think I'm going to go for the Blackburn win. I think they should have enough to beat Bristol City at the weekend. I think Armstrong is due a good game. I think he was particularly poor at the weekend, but they reckon he might bounce back here. So yeah, I'm going to go 2-0 Blackburn.
Yeah, it's interesting this one because neither team, Blackburn, like you say, they've not won in four games. Bristol City haven't won in five. Can't believe I'm saying that about two teams really what are in the playoff chase. But Blackburn, if they win this, it'll mix it up again completely. They'll overtake Bristol City. But because it's so difficult to predict this game, I'm just guessing at 1-1, if I'm honest. I'm sitting on the fence there, I know. But I'm going to go 1-1 in this one, particularly after Blackburn's, you know, 3-0 loss. Confidence will be low after losing against Derby, like I say. And, yeah, it's just a difficult game to predict. But in many ways, I hope Blackburn do get the win just to you know, mix it up again a little bit and keep the, you know, the likes of Forest and Preston on their toes. But then the other game at 3 o'clock to predict, Jake, is Huddersfield versus Wigan. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think this is another good game and two teams at the bottom of the table. I think Huddersfield pulled quite nicely clear of it under the Cowley brothers, and I'd be surprised if they got sucked back in. I think same for Wigan, really. If we're looking at Huddersfield at home, they're pretty good at home. Won three of the last four, including wins against QPR, Bristol City and Charlton. Conceding only one game across those two matches. Sandwich in between that was a 3-0 defeat by Cardiff, so not sure we could read too much into it. But you know, they've taken 26 points at home, 26 out of 42, so they're pretty good at home. And I think that Wigan's away form, although they got that crazy, they've won three of the last four, which has really bucked any trend that they previously had, including wins against West Brom, Reading and Leeds. Still think they're not the best on the road, and I think I'm going to go for a Huddersfield win.
Yeah, this is again difficult for me. Any other time I'd tip Huddersfield being at home. I know they've won two out of the last three, like you said. Wigan, they're unbeaten in six or seven. I can't believe it. I remember saying about 3 weeks ago that for me Wigan was certs to go down this season, and I can't believe that they're form, how they've turned it round so well. It's unbelievable. So I'm going to just stick to a 1-1 draw in this one. Huddersfield, I'd probably expect to win being at home, but yeah, just Wigan keeps surprising me week in, week out. So I'm going to go for 1-1 in this one as well. But unfortunately, we have reached the end of the show. If you'd like to let our listeners know how they can find you online, Jake, now would be a good time.
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter at Jake Japan with two N's. I was on the Premier League show yesterday talking a bit about Newcastle and what's going on there and the other stuff going on in the Premier League, so give that one a listen.
And I've been your host at Louis Shackshaft on Twitter. Please remember to follow the show at Championship Pod, where we post each show to our pin tweet. We want to thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time for more Championship chat.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.